Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. Amen. It's good to be in his house today. It's good to be in his house today. You know, Sherry and I have been through some experiences over the last six months or so. I'm not going to get into a bunch of detail about it, but I will say this, that we've been blessed by a number of folks in various ways, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you. And it's just been an experience. It's been an experience. And I become a professional job interviewer, and I'm really getting good at it. And I can stretch my credentials with the best of them now. But it's been an experience. I'm sure there's an answer coming. Amen. There's always an answer with the Lord.
Yes.
We're going to get into some scripture here in a little bit. And I'm not very long-winded. Who knows? I don't think I am. Not very long-winded. I'd like to thank everybody for being here today. You know, we get here sometimes and we forget that, but we really appreciate you. We appreciate you being here. You know, I look at our congregation sometimes, and I'm a New York Yankee fan. No booze, please. But I'm a New York Yankee fan, and for all you locals that like those other people, the birdie guys or whatever, you know, the Yankees build teams. They build teams. They have existing veterans, the Derek Jeters of the world. And they bring in veterans into that team. They buy them, bring them in. We don't buy you, but you come in. And they get some new rookies in, you know. Folks never played professional baseball before. And they put together teams. And for them, that formula works. Why? Well, because they mold a team. And everybody says, well, they buy a team. Well, it doesn't matter how you do it. They make a team. And they win championships. And I look at this congregation. I was thinking about this morning. You know, we've got some old folks here. We got some old folks here that have been here a long time. Then we brought in some veterans. Right? They were old folks at another place. But we brought in some veterans into the house. Right? We brought some veterans in. And then we got some rookies popping in here and there, right? And we're forming a team. And as I look back over the congregation every Sunday morning, I just get thrilled to death. Because you look at this group of folks and you think, how in the heck did we bring all these people? What is this? This isn't the Cheyenne Social Club here. These people, a lot of these folks didn't know each other. Some of them did. But we're forming a winning team. That's what I want you to hear this morning. This is a winning team. This is a winning team. This congregation has nothing but victory ahead. I'm blessed every Sunday morning. I don't get up there and act like I do because just for me, but I look out over this congregation and I am blessed. And I guarantee our leadership is blessed as well. And that's the way God brings people together, just like the New York Yankees. I'll have to call old George up and talk to him about that. Oh, that's right. He's not there anymore. Call his son. Amen. Praise the Lord. Next time somebody asks you, say you're a member of the Yankees. Amen. You're on a winning team. We've got a winning team here. We've got a great group of folks. And you're saying, well, Jim, what are you talking about? Well, because I think it's important for you to hear that sometimes, that you are a great bunch of folks. We love you and we appreciate you. Amen. The rookies, the old folks, the old veterans coming in. Some trades we made here and there. We'll give you this one for that one. Go ahead. We'll take that one. Amen. We formed a team. It's a great team. We can do great things. We think about these young people that are going out on mission trips. You know, Brooke's getting ready to go to, where is it? Belize. Caleb, he's going to Bangla, wherever. And, you know, I got to meet the young man that's taking him with him here in the spring. And he won't be much protection physically because he's only about this tall. But I'm sure he can lead him as far as spiritually. Seems like a good man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, when we get to going here, we're going to go into 2 Samuel 4 in a minute. I want to talk a little bit today. We need to get a bigger platform for me up here. I love when Dan says that because he knows I'm up here fumbling. He just helped me. Huh? There you go. 2 Samuel chapter 4. We're going to get there in a second. You know what the Lord spoke to my heart, and of course he speaks to my heart differently than he does other folks. Lisa's been doing a marvelous job teaching recently, and she's been touching on, she just doesn't touch on one part, but she's been touching on some good things related to the book of Exodus and different things like that, but sometimes the things that drop your heart are just it's just interesting. You know, the Lord spoke to me and said, we each have scars. We all have scars. Some of them are, you know, self-imposed due to failure, or some of them may be due to the failure of others. But we all have some scars. Some may be big scars, some may be small scars, but whatever they are, they're there. And we can make some choices as to what we want to do with that. We're going to talk about a guy named Mephibosheth here in a minute. But you know, scars tell a story. They remind you of where you've been, but they certainly don't dictate where you're going. Now, I'll stand before you this morning. I'll tell you, I've got some scars. But I'm not going to let them dictate the direction I'm going to go.
Hallelujah.
Right? They're just scars. They're a reminder of where I've been. And if you've got scars this morning, whether they be emotional or physical, whatever they are, you don't have to abide in those scars. But you just have to use those as a reminder and as a push to take you to where he wants you to go. You know, if every failure in my life, if I abode in that failure, or I abode in that mistake, or I abode in, you know, whatever it might be, then I'd never have gotten anywhere. I think in business, and I've been in business for a long time. You can look at my hair. And I'm an older guy. Man, that's hard to say sometimes, because I didn't used to be an older guy. I used to be that young guy. And now I'm an older guy. Man, I thought the other day, I'm 54 years old. Holy Minerva. Good gracious, Gertie. Amen. Amen. But... Amen. Amen. But we can learn from those. We can learn from those things that have happened in our life. We can use that to grow into where he wants us to be. We can use that to become better. We can use that to help someone else. Amen. Amen. You know, Pap used to say, don't worry about the past, it's gone. And don't worry about the future, it isn't here yet. But focus on today. Amen. So when I'm talking about scars and stuff this morning, and I'm talking about injuries or things that are wrong and have been wrong in your life and such, I want you to use those as growing points, not as negatives. And some of you may say, well, I've had a pretty perfect life. Haven't had any issues. And I want to talk to you after church. Because I think we've all had a few issues here and there. We've all had a child that's been a problem at once in a while. Mine are perfect, but I mean, I know that some folks. You know, so anyhow, let's go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 4, verse number 4. It says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Now, he was 5 years old. She wasn't carrying him. He was running fast, but she was probably dragging him. Have you ever seen someone drag a kid through the store running? You know, and he fell and he became lame. Mephibosheth became lame as a result of the news of his father and his grandfather being killed in battle. And these things stirred up a lot in the household, and his nursemaid was running and running with him. You ever got some bad news and not really sure where to go, what to do, what to say, and you panic and you just sort of, well, maybe y'all calm, but I get panicky sometimes. And so she ran with this baby and this little child, and he fell and he became lame. Mephibosheth became lame. Why am I telling you that? Well, we're going to go over here to 2 Samuel chapter 9. I want to tell you a story of how God will recover you. And so Mephibosheth was lame, and Mephibosheth's hiding out, and David becomes king of Israel. And David said in chapter 9, verse 1, he said, David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, Jonathan and David had a covenant. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I? The king called Ziba, Saul's servant, said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. And goes on down in verse number 11 says, Ziba said unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Praise the Lord. We see that Mephibosheth had some scars. Mephibosheth had some issues. And he was out hiding at Lodabar's house, trying to stay out of sight and out of mind. And we find out that David, though, didn't forget. The king didn't forget. He was looking for one of Jonathan's sons or one of Saul's house. And he wanted to do some type of restoration there because there had been failure in the house. There had been death in the house. There had been bad things happen in that house. And he found out that there was a young man named Mephibosheth who was lame from the time he was a child because he had fallen at the news of his father's death. And he said, bring him up to my house. And he took Mephibosheth and he sat him at his table. And he said, he'll forever be at my table, and I want you guys to work for him. So he took this guy, Mephibosheth, and he restored him. Now, he didn't just restore him to this level or to this level, but he restored him to the king's table. I want you to know something this morning. That it doesn't matter what has taken place in your life. It doesn't matter where you've been or where you are. But I want you to know something this morning, because I speak out of experience, that God can come and find you. He'll find you no matter where you're at. And he'll restore you. Now that's good news. Doesn't matter where you're at. You can be sitting in this house, but inside you're down, you're depressed, you're not feeling good about yourself. And God will reach in and pull you out. And not only will he pull you out, but he'll set you up. God just doesn't want to take you out of the circumstance. He wants to bless you when he brings you out. And set you at the king's table. Now, the glorious thing about this king's table, and I know I've preached on it before, I can't help it. I get on something, I'll preach it for 20 years. But the glorious thing about this king's table is, you ever seen a table, big table? I wish I had a big table here. What's on a table? Tablecloth, right? Tablecloth on the table. He sits down at the king's table. He slides up under the king's table. Guess what? You can't tell he's lame, can you? I'm telling you something this morning. When you pull up to the king's table, when he calls you in, when he restores you, and you pull up to the king's table, no one can see your crippledness. All they see is someone sitting at the king's table. I'll tell you something else that happens at that king's table. You sit there long enough, that crippleness goes away. Amen. Amen. He takes away, he covers up. Jesus this morning is there to restore you. You say, well, Jim, I don't need restoring. I'm pretty good. Well, fantastic. That's great. But if you need restored this morning, if you've had something in your life, I want you to know that God is calling you to his table this morning. And not only is he calling you to his table, but he's going to feed you. He's going to restore you. Amen. Amen. You know, there's examples throughout the scripture of people that have been, you know, and, you know, I preach a lot on this because I've been there. You know, I've been in that state. I've been in a failed state. I've been in a successful state. But I know that God can restore. Why do I preach on that all the time? Because I want you to know that God will restore you. Because some of the best people in the world allow themselves to be burdened down with their failure or the failure of others that has affected them. And it burdens them down, and it doesn't allow them to partake of, to achieve, to completely enter something into Jesus and let that joy overtake them. Scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if there is something in your life that is dragging you down and robbing you of that joy, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be spiritual, whatever it might be, if something's robbing you of your joy, then it's robbing you of your strength. And if you don't have that, you don't have the desire or the motivation or the ability to move forward. It's tough getting old and fat. You lose your breath. But you don't have that motivation to move forward because you lost your joy. You know, I can look at a person and you say, Jim, well, how do you know that? I can look at a person because I've been there. That's how I know. And I can tell they've lost their joy. I can look over this congregation this morning. There's some folks lost their joy. It might be physical. It might be burdening you down. I thought to myself this morning, this age thing, excuse my terminology, Pap, he'd rebuke me. This age thing sucks. Because I'm getting, my wife, she said, well, that sounds like bursitis. I said, I don't know what it is, but it hurts like fire. My shoulder just started hurting. I go, ow, and I start yelling. Of course, she laughs at me. But my shoulder was hurting. And then all of a sudden, it stopped hurting. I said, what the heck is that? She said, that sounds like bursitis. I said, bursitis, that's for old people. Amen. Guess what? I'm old. I'm getting old. I'm getting bursitis. Bursitis. That's something my grandmother had. Good God Almighty. I got bursitis. I don't know what it is, but it hurt. Amen. I don't even know where I was going. I got caught up in that whole bursitis thing. Amen. Huh? See, now my dementia's coming in. For long, I'm just going to sit down. I talk in front of people all the time. I don't preach in front of people all the time. But I train people. Well, I did up till 6 months ago. I've been unemployed. But I train people. I train people to do what? I train people to continually improve. That's what I do. You'd think there'd be a big market for that. But right at the moment, there's not. But that's what we do in the house of the Lord. We've got a team here made up of older folks. I mean, not like old age-wise. I'm just talking experience. Mature. We brought in some experience from other teams. seasoned folk. We got some rookies hitting the team. You're going to bat cleanup soon. We got some folks in the middle that are good players and they're taking their place. I'll call them middle-aged. Rookie over there. But we're putting together a team. God is the owner. And he's establishing this team here. For those of us that are suffering with bursitis, he's bringing people in that can lift that ladder now. Right? You know, I remember years ago, Monty and I sitting right back here on this corner. On this corner of the roof. In the dark. With lights rigged up. Putting shingles on. Why? One, we were young. We were rookies then. But two, it needed to be done. Now, thank God we don't have to put shingles on in the dark anymore. But there's things that need to be done. We need to pray. We need to visit. We need to talk. We need to greet. We need to hug somebody's neck. We need to show some love. We need to pick up the phone. And every once in a while, we might need a pack of shingles carried somewhere. But God's putting people in this house that can take their place. What is your place? What is your place today? What is your place? Come talk to me. I'll give you a place if you don't know. But talk to God and he'll tell you what your place is. It might be to teach the word to a child. It might be to teach the word to an adult. It might be to go into a jail. It might be to witness to people in the tattoo parlor. Do they call them parlors still? Shop. Tattoo shop. I've been thinking about getting a tattoo. Did you hear Tam? She said, oh, Jesus. Get it put on her and says, I'm old, but I'm still good. Amen. 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 We look at Peter. Peter, the book of, you can go there if you want, but it's in John 18, Matthew 26, and John 21. We think about Peter. And Peter was in the house. He was part of Jesus' team. He was part of the inner circle. He was the guy. You know what I'm saying? He was the guy. The guy's sitting there, but I didn't know he was here, so I said, yeah, Lisa, I'll preach. But there's the guy. No, just kidding. So Peter was the guy. He was the dude. And he goes to Jesus and says, I'll stick with you till the end. And Peter said, and Jesus says, nah, you won't. Before that cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. Oh, no, Jesus, I'll be with you. Guess what? Peter denied him. Did that make Peter a bad guy? No, but Peter failed. No, but Peter got a scar from that. And when Jesus came to Peter after he resurrected from the dead and he came to Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Well, actually, I'm not sure. No, he didn't say that. But I mean, you know, he's got to be thinking in his mind, well, Peter, I just want to confirm this in your mind that you know that you love me. So you ask him again. He says, Peter, do you love me? Ask him again, Peter, do you Lord, you know I love you. And go feed my sheep. Right? Right? Have you ever failed the Lord? Have you ever failed him? Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? I'll guarantee you he loves you. And he wants you to feed his sheep. Now, how do you feed his sheep? Some of you can be a preacher and get up and preach the word. Some of you can visit. Some of you can write a note. This Facebook is really cool, right? It's a little bit of a pain in the butt sometimes, but sometimes it's cool. Because you can see people, well, they got a pretty good little talent there for writing. They write a nice little soliloquy or whatever to encourage people. I read Sister Jenny's all the time. She writes one about every 2 or 3 weeks. She'll write a little paragraph to encourage me. Yeah, it's for me. It might be for you, but it's for me. And I hear that word. I read that word. We've got writers. We've got speakers. We've got encouragers. We've got visiting folk. Are you a visiting folk? Can you go and visit someone and encourage them and lift them up? Can you be sitting in your tattoo shop and encourage someone in Christ? Absolutely you can. Can you be on the job, youngster, and encourage someone in Christ? Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. So we find out about Peter. We talk about Paul. It's in the book of Acts, if you want to look it up. Book of Acts 8, book of Acts 9. Those two chapters. And we talk about the conversion of Saul. Saul wasn't a good guy. He was killing Jews, or he was overseeing the killing of Jews, or he was holding the coats of somebody that was killing Jews. Yeah, that. Christians. That's right. Sorry. He was already a Jew killing Christians. Sorry about that. Thank you, honey. See, that's why you have a wife sometimes, to keep you straight. Amen. So he was killing Christians. Or he was holding the coat of somebody else that was killing a Christian. Guess what? He's just the kind of guy that God's looking for. And he converts Saul, and his name becomes Paul. His eyes get glassed over, and he winds up down at Cornelius. Is it Cornelius? Where's he wind up at, Paul? Straight Street. But whose house does he wind up at? Zachariah. See, all you got to do is just put out the question. So he winds up down there and he becomes converted. His name is changed to Paul. And everybody knows that this guy wrote most of the New Testament that we lean towards. Can God convert? Can God save? Amen. Amen. Ralph Waldo Emerson. You don't know who Ralph Waldo Emerson is? He was a writer, early 20th, late 19th, 20th century. He said, "What lies behind and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us." See, it doesn't matter what's behind us. It doesn't matter what's before us. But what matters is what lies within us. Amen. Amen. Jesus wants to take you, and he wants to use you for the building of his kingdom. He wants to use you for the building up of his kingdom. He wants you to look at the scars that have been in your past. And he wants you to use those as inspiration to move it into your future. He wants you to live in the now. and not think about past failures or past mistakes. And some of you may not have anything that you're thinking of, but I'll bet there's at least one under the sound of my voice this morning that's struggling with some issues. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been given this to say to you today. Amen. I found out, I've been substitute teaching, working part-time. I've been working at the park part-time, running a gun range out there. But I found that I like, in the teaching, I like second grade and seventh grade. The seventh grade doesn't feel like they know it all already. They're getting there, but they don't feel like they know it all already. And second grade is so far beyond kindergarten and first grade because, like, they can read, they can understand and comprehend. They listen, or at least they listen to me. I don't know if they listen to their teacher, but they listen to me. So those are my grades. So when I get older and I retire, I wouldn't mind teaching second grade or seventh grade. I've had enough experience now that those are my grades. Everybody has grades, right? Second and seventh are my favorite. Second and seventh are my favorite. Seventh was the worst grade in the world for me when I was growing up. Yeah. Maybe that's why those kids are so smart. Maybe that's why they're so smart. A lot of them have been there a couple times. That's the year that you take it over. A do-over. Do-over. You got a do-over. See, that's what God does for us, isn't it? He gives us a do-over. He gives us three times. Sometimes more. What does he say? And this isn't brain surgery word this morning. What does he say? How many times do we forgive him, Lord?
Seven?
No. 70 times seven. Oh, come on, God. We have to forgive. My wife, man, she forgives me 70 times 7. 490 times a day. Bet you didn't think I could do that math, did you? 490 times a day she forgives me. That's how much the Lord wants you to be forgiven. He's tired of folks like Mephibosheth living in fear because of their scars, living in fear because of their failures. You know, sometimes our failures are because of us. Sometimes our failures are because of someone else. But regardless of that, we can't abide in our failures. We can't blame everything on our failures. We've got to move forward and leave our failures behind. Your scars don't dictate where you're going. Get it out, Jake. Just go ahead and let it out. I'm telling Lisa on you. Is it out? Second grade, seventh grade. I love them. I love them. Come on. He doesn't want you to abide in your failures. He wants you to move on from your failures. Our pastor... for many years, Pastor Jack, he had the simplest word that you could possibly imagine, and if you couldn't understand it, You haven't gotten to second grade yet. His word was simple. It was to the point. Sometimes it was blunt. Sometimes it was. But you could understand it. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. Live in the now. You know, God will take care of the future. He's already taken care of the past. All you have to be concerned with is the now. Sam's got lots of candy there, so I'll just keep talking for a little bit. He's good to go. Amen. We had that discussion. I just wanted to make sure it was okay. He's on his last piece. Tell me when you're almost done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Yes, he was.
But he still looked around and thought, well, who helped me? Who haven't I remembered? What's going on in my life? Who took a hit for me?
Yep.
And he thought about John.
He had covenant.
Sometimes, you know, we forget about the ones that helped us.
Yep.
We forget about the little fellows that helped us along the way. But David was up high, and he didn't. He looked back.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It was just wonderful what God will do. And when you talk about Jake and his tattoos, I saw the other day where he tattooed an ear on a man. Is that right, Jake?
Yeah.
That didn't have an ear, and it looked like he had an ear.
Yeah.
And I thought about how the Lord had restored the man's ear that he cut off with a sword. Peter had pulled out his sword in anger.
Yep. Amen.
You know, I think too part of that story to me is that the, you know, one of the things David is doing is the power of honor is in this as well.
Amen.
He's honoring even though Saul was trying to kill him.
Amen.
He still honored the generation that was before him.
Amen.
And, you know, this chapter and the next chapter, there was another king that was one of David's enemies, or I guess it was one of them that had been running from Saul, and his son is now king in the next chapter, and David sends a delegation to when his father dies.
Amen.
To bring condolences to him, except this king thinks David is trying to take over, and he shames, you know, the servants that David sent, but nevertheless, David is trying to honor somebody that was before him, no matter whether it was right or wrong. He still, that's probably one of the things that sets him apart from any other dynasty. Father Saul. You know, even with the story even here with Mephibosheth, so you know, you don't see her in the picture anymore. She's not even with him after he's
right.
You know, after he's crippled in his feet, she drops him because there's nothing left in it for him.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that walk away when there's nothing left in it for him.
Yep.
Except Don.
Yep.
But David stays with it and then comes back to honor. And these guys are absolutely shocked by a king that would come back and instead of having revenge in his heart, having his heart, let's do good to these people. Let's turn. Let's do something different that's been modeled before. And he does good to Mephibosheth. And one of the other things was that he says to him, not only will you set my table because restoration is what I have in mind, but I'm going to give you servants.
Yep.
Ziba was Saul's right-hand man.
Take care of his house.
And he had 15 sons, 20 servants. 15 is the number of rest. 20 is the number of redemption.
Amen.
And he says, you know what? It's not just about coming and eating and you know, I'm gonna restore you and everything. But there's going to be an ongoing work that's working in your field.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the things we realize that even that when we're crippled or we have scars or we got whatever we have going on in our life, that there's an ongoing work that's in our field.
Yep.
That's still going to flow from rest and redemption.
Yep.
To me, Ziba speaks of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
You know, all I think about, you know, salvation is an ongoing thing. He's still saving us. He's still redeeming us. He's still working on us. He's still working on our even our crippledness because something has to happen in Mephibosheth because later in this story, he has a son.
Yeah.
Whose name means Micah, or Micah, whose name, the name Micah means in the image or likeness or shadow of God. So he gives birth to something that means the image or likeness of God. So, yeah. You know, something must have started working from the waist down.
Restoration.
And he has another kid.
Amen. Amen.
And so the restoration from feeding on the right table and from the power of honor and the power of forgiveness can still restore, even, you know, until you can give birth to something that's in the likeness of God. You might have come thinking one thing. And I think all of us came, and the gospel that was what we call, the gospel. We all came to this king thinking, when we get there, we're getting woven.
Yeah.
We're in for it. Because, I mean, that's what Mephibosheth thought. He said every other king that's ever lived,
They
killed everybody that's in the former dynasty, so there's not a possibility of an insurrection or a revolt.
Let's
just wipe them out. And so you can imagine, while he's on his way to the palace, he's thinking, this is not a good deal here.
Yeah.
And that's why he cowers down like a dog. But David said, man, I got news for you, son. I didn't bring you here to kill you. I brought you here to give you back all your father's inheritance.
Restore you.
I'm going to give it back to you. Not only going to restore it, but you're not even going to have to work in your fields. I'm going to give you Ziba to work in the fields.
Amen.
And he's going to work your fields and bring in the produce of the fruit of the land. And that's how the Holy Spirit is in our lives.
Right.
The king simply says, come to my table. I didn't bring you here to kill you. I brought you here to restore you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do the work in your life.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. Not only does he restore us, but he blesses us. You know, and here's Sam. Good, good brother. Make sure Sam's got a piece of candy.
Probably Mephibosheth's nurse thought, you know what, I might have jumped ship too soon.
Yeah.
I might have been living in the palace.
She's feeling bad at this point.
I think there's a lot of people that jump ship too quick and they don't wait for the blessing of God.
Yep.
Later on, the people that you didn't think God's favorite
was on. Amen. And sometimes, and that's why when we got started, I wanted to acknowledge that you're here. You being here is a blessing to this congregation. You say, oh, I just come in and sit down. No, you being here, sitting at the table, is a blessing. No, not me. I can come and go. No, you being here. What a blessing. What a blessing to see you. You don't realize, if it's not a blessing to anyone else, it's a blessing to me. Every time I see you, if I tell you I love you, if I give you a hug or I shake your hand, it's not because I'm obligated. It's not because they're obligated. They love you. They're glad to see you. Why? Because you're part of us.
Amen.
You're part of the team. You might not be batting clean up. You might be the relief pitcher. You might be a utility player, but you're part of the team. There's a reason for you being there. Old Georgie Steinbrenner didn't spend all that money for nothing. He wanted to win. With this team, we can win. We can win. We can win this town. We can win this county. Come on. Pick the person you think least likely to ever come into this house and say, hey, how you doing? You ought to come out to the old word on the hill. Amen. 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 John, he's one of the young ones on the team. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, I teach continuous improvement when I go into factories. We teach them how to do value stream mapping. How many know what a value stream map is? See, you weren't listening again. Oh, okay. Value stream map takes a process and you map it with different figures. You get the whole team together, you put it up on the board, you map the process, and when you look at that process on the first pass, you realize that your process wasn't very good. So then you work as the team and you put that process and you streamline it, you take out the things that aren't necessary. You streamline that process and it goes from being something like this to being this. And that's what God wants to do with your life today. He wants you to look at your life, put it up in front of you, see what's of value, see what's not adding value, and streamline it. And I'll guarantee you that what has value is Him. What has value is your family. What has value is this and that. And there'll be certain things running your business. But there's some stuff that don't have no value. And all it does is waste your time. I can think of one thing. It's about that big. And it's got a button that you can control. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you're laid off, it's almost like you're drawn to that thing. It's like you're drawn to the light. And you have to force yourself to get away from it. Anybody haven't figured that out yet? It's television, right? And it's one of those things that we as human beings have gotten caught up in over the last 50 or 60 years that it... Dina's there going. But we get caught up in that thing. put it down. When you're laid off, you can't afford it. So that really helped us, didn't it? It's help. So we only got the three emergency channels. You can only watch that so much. Might as well go outside and do something or read my Bible. But look at your life. Look at your life. Value stream it. Look what's got value. And that which has value, make that the focus of your life. I'm not saying you can't watch TV once in a while. But look what's got value. And make that the primary focus of your life. Amen. Amen. Your family, your church, you're a member of a team. Well, Sam's out of candy. Oh. Sam thought we might be going into extra innings, so he saved it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're a member of a championship team. We're so glad that we're blessed with new folks coming in. We're so glad for those folks that have been here. We're so glad for the young people that are coming up. We're so glad, and I know I can speak for Lee. We are so glad for each and every one in this house. So glad. You bless us. You bless us. You say, well, Jim, I didn't really think that, you know, it mattered. It does matter. It matters. You know, when I get Jake to give me a tattoo, I'm terrified of needles, so how's that going to work, right? So I am so glad that you're here today. And I'll guarantee you, the rest of the leadership in this house is glad you're here today. Are you a blessing? Don't be shy. Are you a blessing today? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Is that old bursitis again? Through that baby. Come on. Amen. You are a blessing today. Amen. You're a blessing. God bless you. Amen. Can I have musicians? More than one would be even better. She needs support. She's pregnant. She said, "I'll get a stupid old Uncle Jim again." Amen. Praise the Lord. We're glad to have you today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. There you go. Amen. She's a good woman. Good woman. Amen. You're all good. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Part of the team. Part of the team. We're being interjected with good folk. Good folk. Amen.
Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim you our King, standing here in the midst of us. We raise you up with we worship your throne, and as we worship your throne, and as we worship your throne, come Lord Jesus
and take your place.
Up with our praise, and as we worship, fill your throne, and as we worship, fill your throne, and as we worship, fill your throne, come Lord Jesus and take your place.
And as we worship,
fill your throne. And as we worship, fill your throne. And as we worship, fill your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place.